You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Well, I don't think there are many words. Well, there's a lot of words, but I don't think there is a really good place to start to talk about this epic collapse of a season, absolutely pathetic performance of a playoff game. So where I think I'm going to start is we're just going to start where everyone else kind of is in the comments before the live stream even started, just kind of by saying thank you to Jason Kelce to start. Before we get there, Shane Half is with me as always. Rochelle's behind the glass. Welcome into BGN's Instant Reaction Show. Just jumping on sort of what the last thing that we saw was on that broadcast and what everyone's kind of talking about in the comments over here. You could tell it's over. You could tell it's done. And it's absolutely, it's a gut punch to watch someone who has given everything to this organization and been everything that, you know, you want out of your Philadelphia Eagles team, been that and more, see it end the way that it did. And, you know, I think that the three of the guys who kind of went out tonight and gave it their all were Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce. And it's such a shame to see it end the way it did. But if that is it for those three guys, thank you for the last 10 plus years. What is it? 13 for Jason, 12 for Fletch, and 15 for Brandon Graham. But anyway, starting by saying thank you to those guys because they are the last decade and a half of Eagles football. And, you know, the Eagles that a lot of people kind of, you know, a lot of newer, younger Eagles fans have grown up watching. So it's a shame to see it go out that way. But Shane, this was, I love it. This was, I mean, where do you even start?
I think you started the right place. I mean, I wore the Kelce jersey during the game because I said, you know, before the game, this might be the last game he ever plays. And that's sad. And Jason Kelce is not, I assumed all season before the collapse that this would be the end. It really felt like last year, had they won the Super Bowl, Kelce would have ridden off into the sunset. He came back to give it one more go. And, I mean, his play has not fallen off. Like, it's truly phenomenal that it has, at his age, a guy who relies on his athleticism so much. Like, if he's not the best center in the league this year, he's at least top three. You could put Frank Ragnow from Detroit. You can put Creed Humphrey from Kansas City up there in that argument. But he hasn't lost a step, and there's no doubt in my mind he could come back next year and again be a top three center in the NFL. But I do think that's probably it for Kelce.
Yeah.
And we've known all along this was probably it for Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. And it's just sad. It's the end of an era. Those guys have been in Philadelphia as long as I've been following the team closely. And so it really does feel like an end of an era in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, 13 years ago, how old am I right now? 13 years ago, I was 15 years old and I was a freshman in high school. And, you know, I had always loved the Eagles and been such a, you know, diehard Philadelphia sports fan and loved going to games and loved watching games with my dad on Sundays. And, you know, that was such a big part of my life. But the back end of middle school and early in high school is when I really kind of dove in the way that I am now. And, you know, you know all the guys on the team, and you feel like they're your buddies, and you just the way that I've put so much more into the team, like that's when that started, and it's when Jason Kelce became an Eagle. So it's just it's unbelievable to kind of think about a team where that he's not a part of, all three of them, honestly. And you know, I'm not gonna lie to you. I am a very emotional person. I cry at everything, always. Happy, sad. I am unable to keep it together. I was tearing up when you were just talking right there. I lost it a little bit. There were tears absolutely shed when Brandon Graham got that sack and Nolan Smith came over and they did the celebration together. That like pulled at some heartstrings for me, because it really is like, you knew watching this game that if they lose, this really is the end. And as disappointing as the defense played, and as angry as we are at certain things, and as much as we think the entire coaching staff is not going to have a job tomorrow, and you know, we have our frustrations with the offense and this, that, and the other thing, it was impossible to let all of those other things creep in without just the sheer emotion of it, this kind of being the end of an Eagles era. And you know, I saw this tweet. I want to say it was actually from our buddy Victor. He said, you know, the stories that are going to come out in this offseason are going to be damning for this team. We are going to be looking at, I mean, we thought we were going to look at an overhaul after the, you know, 4-11-1 2020 team, when, you know, they were trading Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson was fired and all those different things. We thought we were going to be looking at a serious overhaul then. I feel like that's nothing compared to what we're about to be looking at. And I don't think they're going to like trade Jalen Hurts. I'm not saying that, but I think the stories that are going to come out, the way that they're going to overhaul coaching staff, team, like, I feel like we're in for it right now.
Yeah, I spent the whole fourth quarter answering questions about coaching candidates. So that's not that anybody cares about my analysis of that fourth quarter, but you won't get any because I was barely watching the game. I tweeted out my coach hires wish list, and then I just spent like the next 15 minutes answering questions about other coaching candidates. And then I did a mock draft just for fun. So I didn't watch much of the fourth quarter. It was on the TV, you know, I heard it in the background, but that's where my head's been at for a month. Like, really, once you lost to Seattle's backup quarterback, the season was dead. And
yeah,
we tried to hope they would figure something out. And I mean, they never did. There's not enough words. In an hour post game show, I would not be able to adequately articulate the full incompetence of this coaching staff in terms of the plan they put out there, especially offensively. There's some limitations personnel wise. Defensively, there's sure as heck limitations with your ability to tackle on defense. But offensively, I mean, you had 10 of 11 starters. And A.J. Brown's a big loss, but did you see the way Devontae Smith played? Like, you have two wide receiver ones, and if you can't sustain losing one of them, put up 9 points on Tampa. Like, 9 points on Tampa is pathetic. This is not a good football team. This is not a good defense. They gave up 23 points to the Saints. They gave up 30 points to the Jags, two teams that did not make the playoffs.
They couldn't score more than 9 points last week against the 2-15 Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. So, I mean, Bucs are not a good football team. And honestly, this game should have been worse. Like, the best play the defense had for a majority of this game was Cade Otton or Mike Evans dropping passes. I checked it. I will check it again. I checked it at halftime, and Baker Mayfield had a completion percentage over expectation of -17%.
Jesus.
Which just speaks to the tremendous amount of drops that they had. It stinks that in the second half, you know, before that safety, the defense kind of came alive. They force back-to-back punts. They get some sacks. The pass rush kind of comes alive, and then you get that safety and the wheels just fall off, and that's inexcusable. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback take a safety on a play that started at the 14-yard line that did not involve, like, the snap going over their head.
Yeah.
And I know that I can't remember if it was right guard or left guard now. I think it was Dickerson got blown up on that play. You can't take a 15-yard sack ever, much less in your end zone. So that was an awful play by Jalen Hurts, and that's where the wheels finally came off. That was the death blow. That's when the game was over. You take that safety, and then two plays later, you know, the Buccaneers hit a 56-yard touchdown because James Bradbury, who else, has one of the most pathetic tackle attempts that you've ever seen. Oh, that's the other thing I did in the fourth quarter. Actually, that might have been in the third quarter. I was tweeting about the dead cat for cutting James Bradbury. So,
yes, naturally.
If you want to know, you can designate him a post-June 1 release. It'll cost you $4.7 million in dead cap next year and $12.5 million in 2025. So, all in all, that should be done immediately. But I don't know if they will or not.
They can replace him with my toddler, and it might be as effective, if not a little bit more effective.
They can replace him with Kelee Ringo. Like, Kelee Ringo can tackle.
Probably better.
I tweeted on the first drive of the game when they got him to a third and three or whatever it was.
Yep.
Threw the ball behind the line of scrimmage, and James Bradbury missed a tackle, and they picked up the first down. And I tweeted and said, Kelee Ringo would not have missed that tackle. And that's all James Bradbury did for the rest of the game was miss tackles, get outrun by tight ends on crossing routes. Like, James Bradbury, it's incredible how much worse he is this year than last year. Just totally fell apart. Like, legitimately, if the Eagles cut him, I don't think anyone will sign him. Like, I legitimately don't know if he would get a vet minimum contract next year. That's how bad he was this season. To roll into a playoff game and decide to put him out there instead of Kelee Ringo, who had played really well, that's just unconscionable.
Gave me an aneurysm. It was one of those things where you're like, this can't possibly be worse than anything we've experienced so far this year, right? And then you sit down and it starts happening. And you're just like you go through stages of like jaw droppage, and then eventually it gets to the point where you just laugh. Like, it got third quarter, my husband and I were just laughing when these things happened, because if we didn't laugh, we would cry. Because, I mean, and you're exactly right. They did pull him out at one point. I don't know why they put him back in, but they did pull, like, I think it was in the second quarter, they did pull him out. And he was just standing on the sideline, hands on hips. And, you know, there didn't seem to be anything wrong with him aside from the fact that he was playing like garbage. But I don't know why make the decision to put him back in at that point.
Yeah.
Like, there's no decision they make makes any kind of sense.
Yeah. I don't know. Their personnel management's baffling. Like, at a certain point, you got to put young guys on the field and let them play. And the time to do that was 2 months ago when the defense was falling apart and they didn't do it. And it's hard to go there in a playoff game, but it's also hard to get embarrassed on the road by a 9-8 team in the playoffs too. And that's what the Eagles did. So just really poor showing all around. Like, the offense is absolutely the problem here. I mean, the defense gave up some points in the set. The defense wasn't good in the first half. I mean, they only got one punt. A lot of their field goal stops were aided by drops. They turned it on in the second half for a little bit, and then they totally quit. And that's a whole conversation we could have too.
The
defense
issue.
Totally quit in the fourth quarter, but the offense was just pathetic. And I think that's where you've got to start. When you do the autopsy on the Eagles 2023 season, there's plenty of blame to go around, but at the end of the day, the offense underwhelmed down the stretch, and that's the biggest issue for me. Like, doesn't excuse the tackling, the defensive personnel, the roster construction, the coaching. Like I said, there is plenty of blame to go around. But going into this game, you knew your offense had to win it for you. And they put up 9 points.
What? I was literally just this comment right here. I was just going to reference this. So I was going to say, what did you, I don't know if you saw this report come out. I'm assuming you did, but what are your thoughts on that? And how much stock do you put in that, kind of giving the thought to, you know, one, the players don't quite understand or know confidently who is calling the plays. They're not sure that they can confidently say that Brian Johnson is the one calling the plays or if it's Nick Sirianni, because there was the one instance, I believe it was in the Washington Commanders game, where there was a third down call that Brian Johnson made and Nick Sirianni overruled it. It was a pass play. Nick Sirianni overruled it with a run and they didn't convert and what have you. So they don't confidently know who is actually calling plays. In addition to that, part of that report was that Jalen had gone in and said, I want to add XYZ to the offense. I think we need to be more creative in this area, add some more things over the middle of the field, get some more crossers involved, get AJ Brown involved in what he is good at doing and how he can be most helpful to our offense. And Brian Johnson / Nick Sirianni, whoever, was essentially like, nah, I think we're good with what we have.
Yeah, we're going to find out a lot in the next week or so as people's heads roll over this and stories start to come out. I've said all along, I can suspect where the issues lie, but I don't know for certain, and we'll never know fully. But it's clear the offense is fundamentally broken. Is it because Nick Sirianni has an overriding philosophy of hyper-focus on explosive plays and, you know, this is his offense and Brian Johnson's just calling the plays from his offense? So is the issue all with Sirianni? Is it with Brian Johnson, who's doing a poor job of calling the plays and Sirianni's trying to hand more off to him? Is it Jalen Hurts? Are his preferences what's driving this offense? I don't know. Like, it could be some combination of those things, but sure. I tend to fall back to, and Nick Sirianni has said this is his offense, and I'm going to go with that until it's proven otherwise. I think the biggest issue is this offensive philosophy. And if it's Hurts' preferences that is limiting this offense so much, it's still your job as a coach to say, sorry, I'm the coach. I'm the captain here. I'm making these decisions. And that's not happening. And so I don't know. I don't know how you parse out exactly what's going on, but it's clearly broken. And at the end of the day, that comes down to your offensive your offensive-minded head coach. And if you want to say that you retain Nick Sirianni and you get rid of Brian Johnson and you bring in an offensive coordinator, it better be an experienced guy and you better get out of his way. Like, you can't halfway do this. You can't scapegoat Brian Johnson, because I'm pretty sure most of this is Sirianni anyways, and then bring in somebody else and still meddle. I feel the same way about that as I do with Howie. Howie, build the roster, quit meddling with the coaching and personnel decisions. Nick, if you're here, bring in an offensive coordinator. Stop meddling. Like, the buck has to stop with somebody. And you gave up play calling in 2021 for a reason, because it wasn't working. It just makes me think that you're trying to get back. Him trying to get back into it is not the answer. It already didn't work when you had a great offensive coordinator in Shane Steichen and you were trying to meddle and call plays. You handed it over. Like, hire somebody you trust and get out of their way. Now, I don't even know if he's got the autonomy to do that, because maybe Howie's dictating all these coordinator hires as well. And that's where it's so difficult to parse. I don't know what the issues is. What I know is that the Eagles had a playoff game today, and people in that locker room spent the last week anonymously talking to reporters to plant narratives to get ahead of this coming loss so they could try to set the narrative. about whose fault it was. You've got the Tim McManus always thing, putting it on Nick Sirianni. You've got the Philadelphia Inquirer article, putting it on Jalen Hurts. You had another tweet break, putting it all on Brian Johnson. You've got all these people that their focus in the lead up to this game was, let's get ahead of this coming loss and set the narrative for why it all went wrong. And I mean, you kind of knew it was over when those stories came out today.
And it's just, it's disappointing as a fan to see that happen and then the team come out like they quit. That they, like, they didn't care that they had a playoff game today. Like, they already booked their vacations for their flights to leave tomorrow or Wednesday, and they didn't want to change those flights.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know, I think Nick Sirianni would have been your coach in the fall if they won this game tonight. I don't know how Nick Sirianni makes it through the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening. Especially if you look at it and, you know, you're reading too much into Twitter, right? As we all do. There's a clip that just came out of, you know, Jalen Hurts and Howie Roseman kind of having a moment walking into the locker room, big hug, you know, a little bit of conversation, but ultimately like big hug, kind of a reassurance to Jalen Hurts, if you will, is what it looks like. You know, you're not, if you're working with a head coach that this guy who you have just guaranteed $200 million to, if this guy doesn't want this head coach back, this head coach isn't coming back. And if you, this guy walks in and said, hey, all that stuff that we did last year that we were so successful doing, and I was a runner up for MVP and one of the best players in the NFL, and we almost won a Super Bowl with, let's put that stuff back in the offense. And the head coach and offensive coordinator or some combination of the two say, no, I think it's fine with what we have. We'll just stick with it. It'll all be okay. That guy can't keep his job.
Yeah. I'm over the Sirianni thing. Next Gen Stats just tweeted gotcha. This out. Jalen Hurts was under pressure in under 2.5 seconds, 13 times, tying a career high. The Buccaneers generated 10 unblocked pressures, tied for the most in a game by any defense this season. Get this offensive coaching staff the heck out of here. Get them out.
At the end of the day, like, I know that Jalen Hurts didn't have the year that we hoped he would. But you would be hard-pressed to convince me that he's not the reason that they're 11-6 or were 11-6 and not 6-11.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the turnovers obviously were a problem. You know, there's obviously a list of, you know, a fraction of those turnovers that, you know, I will die on this hill that I think interceptions should not just solely be charged to the quarterback. I think that they should have the ability to be given to someone else. Like, you know, it's not his fault that Dallas Goedert slipped and fell and, you know, they take it back for six, you know, playing the New York Giants, right? Like things like that. Or, you know, last year, the freak play where it bounced off Goddard's heel, things like that, where you're like, come on, like, do we really have to give this man an interception for that? But anyway, I digress. So there's a, you know, fraction of those that you're just like, but, you know, other people are turning the ball over as well. The game against Dallas where Devontae fumbles, which is really unlike him. AJ fumbles, which is really unlike him in that situation. Things like that. But, you know, he didn't have the year that we hoped he would have. But without Jalen Hurts, we are looking at a much different type of collapse than just, you know, the final six games of the season. You're looking at a night and day from 2022 to 2023.
Yeah, you just have to have an offensive system. Like, maybe we need to have a conversation about Hurts. Put him in an actual offensive system, and then let's have that conversation at the end of next season. Because there isn't a quarterback in the league that would be able to survive what the Eagles were scheming up out here. Like, it's just a joke. There's just no way around it. 10 unblocked pressures. Like I said last week, the Eagles went into empty before halftime against the Giants, and the Giants just blitz six because that's what you do. You get a free runner because you're guaranteed a free runner only sending six, and the Eagles have no answers for that. At least if you have a running back in the backfield, they have to send seven to guarantee that because they don't know if he's going to stay and block or not. Then if they send seven and he doesn't block, you got multiple guys running it wide open. And so, like, I like empty. I said then, you just can't do that. They come out the very next play and they called another play from empty and got a six-man blitz. And then they turn around and they do it.
That's what they did on every third down.
Yeah, and then
the reason why they went over on third down.
Right. You come to this game. What do they do every third down? They go empty. The Buccaneers blitz six. We run four verticals. Like I tweeted the gif from Napoleon Dynamite where the guy says, I bet I can throw the football over those mountains. Like that's the Eagles plan against the blitz. Just Hurts, drop back, throw it off your back foot with a free runner in your face and hope somebody's 30 yards downfield and can make a play. That's the answer. You cannot evaluate a quarterback in that. Like, and this is not me being a Hurts apologist. That safety that Hurts took is unforgivable. A rookie quarterback should not do that. That was horrific. And Hurts bears his share in the blame.
Yes.
Coaching is supposed to make a player better. The coaching the Eagles put out there this year made Hurts and everyone around him worse. So you fix the coaching, you fix some of the roster construction issues, and then you go from there reevaluating people next year. Except James Bradbury. You get him out of here now.
You can start there.
There's no scheme that can fix that.
That's a lot of work to do. Oh, I'm glad it's not my job to do it.
Let's draft a linebacker. How about we get an actual NFL linebacker?
No, that's silly. Why would we do that? That doesn't help. That was a joke, by the way, for anyone that wants to come at me for saying that. Just to be clear, that's a joke. Ha ha.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Cowboys at least got eliminated before we did. First team in NFL history to lose to a 7 seed. So that's what I'm just going to keep telling myself to feel better. Because at least I got some joy from that yesterday.
This is why I so desperately wanted the Eagles game to be on Saturday. Because
that would have made you feel better.
How you feel would be different if you watch this game first and then watch the Cowboys game. But watching the Cowboys game was fun, but knowing this was coming just lessened that a little bit.
but now we're free. Like, yes. It got to the point where I was like, you know, they could come back from this still and win, but do I want to have to do this for another week? Like, do I want to be a part of this misery for another week? Not really.
Yeah.
I want them to win, but I don't want to do this again.
Yeah. I was telling my wife during the fourth quarter, like, my kids went to bed after the first quarter, and I was like, I'm torn between, like, I would like for them to win so I can watch another full game with them next Sunday. But if they lose, I don't have to keep watching film for this miserable, pathetic football team. And I guess it's just silver linings. Like, either outcome, there would have been some things to be happy about. So I guess the thing I'm happy about now is I've only got one more game of all 22 to watch for the next, like, I don't know, 7 months.
And, you know, as much as I love talking to you about this at ridiculous hours during the week, you know, Chris is right. There is a silver lining. We will have many more 1 p.m. games next season. Many more 1 p.m. games, which we love. You can watch more games with your kids. They don't have to go to bed in the middle of the games. We don't have to stay up talking until midnight Eastern Coast time. Those are the silver linings here. And, you know, everything else you mentioned of only having to watch one more round of film and not having to continue to do this again. But we are, oh God.
I think they should go for a new NFL record and get 6 Monday night games next year.
Jesus Christ, no. The best thing about right now is the fact that there is snow falling in the greater Philadelphia area and schools are already announced on a 2-hour delay tomorrow. So that is beneficial for me. Maybe I'll get some better news in the morning that schools ultimately canceled and I don't have to do any sort of driving or pickup or anything like that. But let's hope the Sixers play better tomorrow night, because I'm going to that game and I would really like for them to pick me up a little bit here. That'd be kind.
Yeah. You talk about snow falling there. It's so ridiculously cold.
You're in the Midwest. Where, like, okay, so relevant to, like, because obviously everyone's seen and talking about the temperatures in Kansas City and everything over the weekend. What are you currently experiencing from a temperature perspective?
Yeah, we were like 7 degrees yesterday. A pipe froze in one of my walls. I got that thawed out. I saw somebody say that in Oklahoma yesterday, it was like 24 degrees colder than it was in Anchorage, Alaska, which is fun. So maybe I just need to move to Alaska. I don't know if that's true or not, but I definitely saw someone say that.
I have a cousin that lives in Alaska. She just moved there and it's stunning. Stunning there. However, the coldness, -20 wind chill in Denver right now.
Our low today was 2 degrees right here.
And what about with the wind chill?
Very much colder. Like, I think our wind chill got down to like -28, which at a certain point, it's just cold. Like, it's not like 10 degrees colder even matters.
Yeah.
So, but the
coldest I've ever experienced was at the Super Bowl in Minnesota. It was -10. It was 2 degrees when we landed at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was -10 when we walked out of the stadium with a wind chill of -30.
Yeah.
That was the coldest I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah. The good news is it's going to be really cold again tomorrow, but then Wednesday it's going to almost be 50. So that's Oklahoma weather for you. We just, you know, if you don't like it, you just wait a couple of days and it radically changes. So 50s on Wednesday, it'll be great.
That's insane. That's literally insane. That's like that's almost a 70 degree swing.
Yes.
Like with the wind. That's absurd. No. Let's see. What is it right now? In my 24 degrees feels like 20. Okay, that's not too bad. That's not too bad compared to what you're dealing with at the moment. But it is snowing here currently.
I feel like at the end of the show, you have to outro the show by saying, thanks for joining us for the BGN Instant Meteorology Show or something
yeah,
like that.
We've moved on from the Eagles. We're over it. I guess we have to pull Rachelle in, though, and talk about what's going on Twitter. And then we'll wrap up with some more anybody else's weather forecast. If you'd like to join in and let us know what your city's doing at the moment.
Yeah. You know, Jess, if you and I want to keep podcasting together during the off season, we could just do like a quick weather update once a week. Put it on the BGN feed, 10 minutes. We can talk meteorology. It'd be fun.
Love that. You're on. How bad, Rachel?
It's bad, you know?
Yeah.
But this is the last one we'll have to do. Somebody already asked in the comments if we're going to be doing a like BGN draft coverage, like live show, which we will be doing. So that's something to look forward to, but we got some time for that. And so until then, this is what is currently on Twitter. Fire Nick Sirianni. That's like all over so far. I'm in shambles. Somebody said, well, not surprised. I think a lot of us kind of felt that way. A lot of people definitely pick the Bucks. Like a lot of Eagles fans, I know go BL. I don't know if BLG picked them, but a lot of people just weren't optimistic going into the game. So that's definitely very much so fitting. Sometimes football hurts. Glad it's over. There's a ton of those. Like, finally, it's over. Fired Nick Sirianni, which you guys already touched on. Finally, it's over. Crashed and burned, which they definitely did down the stretch of the season. Not surprised. Time to heal. That was pretty positive, you know, trying to be positive. I get it. So that's probably the most positive one that I'm seeing. But yeah, so, and then bye-bye Bradberry. There's a few of those. So Nick Sirianni fired, James Bradberry, gotta go. That's pretty much like the consensus in big loser energy for just the entire team.
I will say, though, Brandon Graham just said he wants to come back for one more farewell season if the Eagles will have him back.
Oh, okay. All right.
How does he feel about being the defensive coordinator?
I don't mind that. But see, here's the thing. I say that now, but I don't want to hate him in 12 months. Like, I don't want to be so angry at Brandon Graham, because Brandon Graham can, I will never say a bad word about Brandon Graham. I don't want to be mad at Brandon Graham.
He can do no wrong.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want that. All right. I appreciate that everyone is letting us know how much that they've enjoyed our venting sessions.
Mm-hmm.
But to close this one out, my question to you guys is, who are you throwing your support behind for the rest of the playoffs now that the Eagles aren't there?
Oh, that's pretty easy for me.
I was going to say, Rachel, I think I know your answer.
I think everybody here knows who my support is behind. Baltimore Ravens. That's who needs to win it.
Yeah, I'm going to. Sadly, Rachel, mine is behind the Houston Texans right now. But but after they lose to Baltimore this weekend, it will be fully behind Baltimore, because I love Lamar. I've been a Lamar stan for a long time, so glad to see him getting a lot of recognition this year. And then on the NFC side, the Packers are such a fun team. And I'm not just saying that because they beat the Cowboys, but I picked the Packers to win the NFC North this season, and that looked really bad when they were 2-6, and they played unbelievable football down the stretch. People that didn't think that they had a shot to beat the Cowboys just hadn't watched the Packers enough. They've been so good down the stretch. Now, they will probably get beaten down by the 49ers next week, but I'm rooting for them pretty heavily as well.
I think I will be behind whoever comes out the winner of that Texans-Ravens game.
Okay.
Whoever comes out on top, I'm all in on that team on the AFC side. And then whoever comes out, again, I know they're not playing each other, but whoever comes out with a win throughout the weekend, the Lions or the Packers. I think all four of those teams, fun quarterbacks to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jared Goff's not that fun, but what he is doing in response to, you know, what he kind of had happen to him in LA has been fun. Watching the Lions team has been fun. So I think there's a lot of fun in the playoffs this year. And now that the Eagles aren't there to ruin my mood all the time, and the Cowboys are also eliminated, which is a thrill for everyone. There's a lot of fun teams in there, and I love watching Lamar play. I love what D'Amico Ryans has done with the Texans, and CJ Stroud has been so much fun to watch. And, you know, obviously the Lions are a great story, and the Packers also, you know, I think it's really interesting to watch how they've developed quarterbacks, and like Aaron Rodgers sitting for however many years behind Brett Favre and coming to be what he was, and same with Jordan Love and really developing into his own. So I think we're all on kind of the same page there. Anyone, but that's not like, no one wants to see the Bills do it. No one wants to see.
I would be fine with the Bills doing it too.
The Bills are okay. If we're ranking the having to deal with the 49ers or the Bills or the Kansas City Chiefs, okay, we're all taking the Bills.
Yes, absolutely.
No question.
Yeah.
I would like to see the Bills win one, but they're definitely like third out of the four AFC teams. Is there four? Yeah, four. Yeah, they're definitely third out of the four AFC teams for me right now, because I would much rather see Baltimore or Houston win.
Yeah, that'd be way more fun. And you're right. I want that for Lamar. I'm so tired of the I want my quarterbacks to look quarterbacky thing that I want Lamar to go and shut everybody up. It'd be a lot of fun.
I want the Ravens go win their Super Bowl, and then I want half of their staff to be the Eagles coaching staff next year. So.
Somebody here said go Denard Wilson.
Well, it could have been if Jonathan Gannon.
Yep. It's exact head coach Todd Monken, offensive coordinator for the Ravens, defensive coordinator Denard Wilson, defensive backs coach for Baltimore. And then for offensive coordinator, bring me Zach Robinson. He's been a passing game coordinator for the Rams since 2019. He also was a quarterback for Oklahoma State, so I'm really familiar with him back in the day. He beat OU a time or two, and I wasn't happy about it then. But that's my staff. Bring me Monken, Robinson, and Wilson.
Okay. All right.
I think we should replace Howie Roseman with Shane, and I think everything would be fine. We'd all be fine.
Let's get a petition going.
I will say, here's a very funny tweet. Someone tweeted, at Eagles, don't tweet a damn thing until you've dealt with the Italian. And I will say that even in these terrible moments, Philadelphia Eagles fans remain undefeated in the hilarity that we can bring to a situation. Because when people are trying to troll us, there is no one that's going to be meaner to ourselves than each other and how mad we are at our own team. So nothing else matters. And that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Also, Jason Kelsey, reporters were waiting to speak with him, and he just said, no, guys, not today.
Okay.
And left.
Yeah.
If we're committed to the bit of getting me on an Eagle staff somewhere, you guys just have to know up front I'm bringing Johnny with me.
Okay.
Well, listen, it'll be a brain trust.
We need some sort of change. Okay? Yes. That works.
He's got to come with me. So.
Yeah.
And then I am deactivating Twitter for the rest of my life. Because I don't want y'all coming after me on Twitter.
A lot of free agents this offseason.
There's really that list of free agents.
Mm-hmm.
The only one I'm bringing back is Brandon Graham. If he wants to come back, you let him come back as many times as he wants. But the rest of that list, see ya.
Mm-hmm.
You could make an argument for DeAndre Swift as well.
I was going to say, he's going to be my other foot.
Just bring him back to eat up a roster spot. I don't know why they keep running backs on their roster at this point.
Are you kidding me? DeAndre Swift got the first two carries of the game and got one more the entire first half. He's not coming back here.
Yeah, it's that the Eagles had the fewest rushing yards in a playoff game in franchise history. 41. What? Yeah, no, they're not bringing him back.
They're going to let him go and re-sign Rashad Penny.
I want to die.
So Kelsey probably retiring. Cox, I would assume Cox retires, right? I don't know. Maybe he goes and plays somewhere else another year.
No, what? No.
If he wants to play another year,
yeah.
Are the Eagles going to bring him back at this point? I mean, he played well this year. It was probably the best year he's played in the last three or four. I guess
he played well tonight.
You probably bring Cox back if he wants to do another year. I'm just not sure that he will want to do that. And then you got Brandon Graham. You bring him back, I think. Marcus Mariota, DeAndre Swift, Boston Scott. Yeah, I mean, you don't even use Boston Scott against the Giants anymore, so there's no point. Zach Cunningham, Olamide Zaccheaus. I wouldn't mind Olamide Zaccheaus coming back as a wide receiver 3/4.
Don't even think about bringing Quez Watkins.
Braden Mann. Bring back Braden Mann. He did a good job punting down the stretch.
Okay.
But yeah, there's honestly, outside of the big three that we talked about, there's not a lot of free agents, so.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Oh, I'm ready for bed. Yeah. I need to sleep this one off.
Yeah.
This is just horrible. But at least we don't have to do it again. I'll miss you both very much.
I know.
But I can't.
Until the draft.
We'll always have our weather podcast updates.
Yeah, I don't think the temperature has dropped where I am in the last 10 minutes. It hasn't. Oh, it now feels like 19 degrees. The wind has picked up a little bit. And it is still snowing. So pray that I don't have to do any drives to school tomorrow.
Shout out to you for tuning in. Right here says it's 5 a.m.
Where are you?
That's gotta be like the UK, right?
Is it the UK? Yeah. 5 hours ahead.
That's the right time zone. I know that because when I schedule with Johnny, he's 6 hours ahead of me, and that's 6 hours ahead of me. So I'm going to guess that's the UK.
Yeah. England.
Yes.
England. Yep. Yeah. Oh, God. Nick Sirianni's press conference is starting. That's my cue to
to go and watch.
That's my cue to shut down my phone. I'm absolutely not. I can't handle anymore. I'm going to prioritize my mental health and I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to do not disturb my phone. I will say nothing. We can talk about this in the morning. My God.
It will be up on at the podium. So if you want to hear it, it'll be up tomorrow morning.
Yeah, do that. Everyone prioritize your mental health and listen to the thing on Bleeding Green Nation and don't do it right now.
Right.
You won't be able to sleep tonight.
No.
All right. Well, 45 minutes of a show. It's after midnight on the East Coast. I want our friends in the UK to be able to go to bed as well. So let's wrap it up from here. For the full season, thank you so much to everyone for joining us all season long through the 10-1 highs and the, you know, lost 6 of their last 7 lows. We really appreciate you guys jumping on with us at all different hours, especially with all the primetime games this year and the flexes and everything. So thank you guys so much for jumping on with us. We will be back for the draft. Shane and I will talk about some weather here and there as well, if that's really, you know, if there's high demand for that, of course. But make sure you're checking out everything. I'm sure there will be plenty coming out, especially over the next couple of weeks and throughout the whole offseason on Bleeding Green Nation. For myself, Shane, Rachel, thank you so much again. This is the BGN Instant Reaction Show, and we will talk to you soon. Go Birds, I guess.
Go Birds. Go Texans.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its $1 billion real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.